We've spent over 10 years on air, shaping a generation of action motorsports, and now we're changing the game again. The best motorsports, the best action sports, and the best of pop culture with some epic guests thrown in. I am Jim Beaver, and this is the Gentle Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki. Hold on tight, the misadventure is just getting started. Welcome to the Gentle Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki. And man, we got an awesome show today. Got a couple of good friends of mine, I would say brothers from another, Billy Slade and Brandon Twitchell with HCR Racing. These boys just got done doing battle at King of the Hammers. And man, I think we got a lot of stories to tell. These are guys I've gone camping with, had a lot of fun with over the years. And obviously, Brandon and HCR have been a longtime sponsor of mine. So great to have these boys on the show. I'm really, really excited to hear about their story, their misadventure, so you will, out at King of the Hammers, man. It is going to be fun. I'm actually back in the studio, finally. It's been a minute, been kind of traveling around. Obviously, King of the Hammers had the AIM Expo. If you haven't listened to the AIM Expo show, go back into our archives. Had an awesome show there with my boys from Clean Freak, GSPX TV Axles, and Guts Racing. But this week we're switching gears. It's going to be all about UTVs here on the Jim Beaver Show, and talking stories from out on the lake bed with Slade and Twitchell. Before we jump into that, though, I got a few things to talk about. Man, we got to talk about my boy, Travis freaking Pastrana, putting it in the top 20 at the Daytona 500. Trav shows up, doesn't even know if he's going to be able to qualify in. Lo and behold, he does qualify in. Then he has a phenomenal run, finishes just outside the top 15. I mean, TP, what a hell of a ride. What a hell of a run. Stoked for you, my man. Going to try and get Trav on the show here sometime very soon to talk about that. But what an awesome, awesome deal for an awesome guy. And I know that was a bucket list thing for Trav. Anytime any of us can check something off the bucket list, you know you got to be stoked for that person. And Trav, I know you got to think with that. I mean, God, he's sitting top 20 in points. I mean, obviously we know he's not going to run full-time NASCAR this year, but what a ride. You know, you got to think that he's got the itch bad enough that maybe we see him come back next year for yet another run at Daytona. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Trav run maybe again this season at the cup level. Like, I don't know, man. He showed enough that you got to think maybe we might see him again in a NASCAR sooner rather than later. You know, then we got Supercross going off. Been a wild, wild year at Supercross. I know we talked with Andy at Guts Racing last week about that. You know, I almost need to do like a Supercross catch-up show here on the show or something like that where we talk nothing but Supercross because there's a lot going on there. But also, before we jump into things, I want to give, I don't know, I can't say give a shout-out, but I do want to talk a little bit about, man, losing my train of thought here. That is not a good thing this early in the morning. But, no, I want to talk about the Mint 400. Obviously, the Mint 400 is coming up. We're going to have a big Mint 400 preview show, pulling some racers. We'll have Matt Martelli on, all of my good friends that are racing. I'll be there. I'll be hosting a live stream. But want to give a little shout-out to our friends at Hogs and Heifers, JB15, yes, my company. We are a part of their big kickoff party Wednesday night at Hogs and Heifers of the Mint 400. So if you've never been to this, this is the party to end all parties to kick off the Mint. It is going to be March 8th, Wednesday night, Hogs and Heifers, just off of Fremont Street. And if you are a listener to the show, let me know. I'm going to be a sponsor of the event. We've got some amazing partners in the event. In the past, Rigid Industries been a big sponsor of it. We've got Vision Wheel coming in, going to be a big sponsor of it. If you're a listener to the show, DM me over on there on Instagram. Let me know you're coming to the party. I will make sure you get a wristband and you get some free drinks on me. That is right. If you're listening to this show right now, DM me. I'll do my best to get you a wristband and get some free drinks, courtesy of the Jim Beaver Show and JB15, because, man, you should, if you listen to the show and you've been listening to me for all these years, yeah, you probably should have some free drinks if you've heard me babble for this long. But, yeah, man, definitely keep me in the loop. If you're heading out that way, but I'll be doing some radio in and around that. Obviously, the Mint 400 live stream, but we'll talk about the Mint at a later date. We got a lot of time to talk about that. But right now, we're going to wrap up our King of the Hammers coverage. You got Billy Slade, Brandon Twitchell with HCR Racing. What do they call it? BB Racing, I think, was their team name. These guys have a lot of fun, but you know, they actually took this program and this race very, very seriously. And I got to give them props for that. So we're going to cut to a short commercial break. I guess before I do that, I should say I will be out at Kurt LeDuc's Off-Road Swap Meet this weekend in San Jacinto. So if you're going to Kurt LeDuc's Off-Road Swap Meet, I believe it's running the 25th and the 20th. Excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong month here. Yeah, I was looking at the right month. The 25th and the 26th, San Jacinto. I got wheels. I got tires. I got all kinds of UTV parts. Seats, you name it. I've got a ton of stuff that I'm going to be selling, blowing out. So if you guys are out there, come see me. Man, and every part you buy helps keep this show and everything else going, man. I tell you, that swap meet helps keep my program alive each and every year. So love to see you guys out there at the swap meet. And trust me, we'll probably have a beer together if you're heading out that way as well. But, yeah, big party, hogs and heifers. Let me know if you're heading out that way for the Mint 400. Love to see you on Wednesday night. My boy Tim Montana's playing on Fremont Thursday night. I'll be hosting live stream Friday and Saturday. It's going to be one epic Mint 400. And you know what's even better than that? Better than the Mint 400? Yes, right before I recorded this show, I was just able to snag front row tickets to Guns N' Roses at Chase Field in Phoenix in October. Guns N' freaking Roses, yes, I got front row tickets. I can't wait for that. October can't come soon enough. So lots to talk about, but yes, up next, we got Billy Slade, Brandon Twitchell, right here on the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki.
Making the most of every moment can be demanding, which is why at Gentle Tire, we think you should demand more from your tires. For more than a century, we've made great all-around tires that always deliver the right combination of performance, durability, style, and value. Whether you're looking at the ultra-high-performance summer tires for your street rod or the best-in-class all-weather tire for your family crossover, Gentle Tire delivers for those who demand more from their tires. Find your fit at GentleTire.com. Gentle Tire, the official tire of the Jim Beaver Show.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today. Like what you're hearing? Do us a favor and head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki and never miss another show.
Welcome back to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Brandon Twitchell of HCR Racing, Billy Slade. We've had 13 minutes of meltdowns. I don't know, dude. I've been doing radio for like 12 years, never had any problems. Now the phone lines didn't work. The mixing board didn't work. We're back up with a backup mixing board, and you guys are like, yep, that pretty much sums up our last month. Complete, total chaos here, man.
Yeah. Hammers took an effect on you too, it sounds like.
Yeah, not as bad as you guys. I don't know. I will say, like, I kind of started calling you Sober Slade, but I was like, we've camped together in the past and everything else. I'm like, it was like a somber mood leading up to the race. And I know you guys took that very, very seriously. I give you guys credit because I've known Twitchell and Slade for a long time, You guys were like full commitment to that race program.
I don't think we even had a choice. Even if we wanted to, we were all hands on deck. Gosh, 14 hours a day. It seemed like.
Unless we wanted to start drinking about 1 a.m. every night, that would have been about the only time that we actually stopped doing things and went into our own trailers and decided, like, okay, like, now there's time for some relaxation. But I think at that point we were so exhausted that we just both just crashed.
Well, dude, Slade, I told you, I said, you know, you were 1-for-1 in your racing career. You went to Sand Scramble, you won. You needed to retire and be perfect. I would have retired after Sand Scramble. You pushed it. You're like, no, we're going to go to Hammers. You ruined the perfect record, man.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, I want to challenge ourselves, and that we knew going into Hammers, that was the race of all races. Like, if you can conquer that, like, that means something. So, and not that the Red Bull Sand Scramble isn't something like that, but it's an attrition race, and it really just shows man and machine and how well you can work together as a team, also as well as with your machine. So that was definitely the goal, and the objective there was just to, you know, put ourselves to the fullest test. And do you know of another race that you can, you know, just basically have all of those conditions and just really test yourself mentally and physically?
Oh, I mean, I would say Hammers and probably the Baja 1000, you know what I mean? Because it's a 24-hour commitment to finish that race. And I would say, KOH, it's select company with the amount of, you know, races that literally just put your mind and body through what it does, you know, and just the preparation beforehand. I mean, hell, you guys have been talking about this for a while. Twitchell, I mean, dude, I was talking to you, 2 years back? And, I mean, you've wanted to go racing for a long time now.
Yeah, it's like every year Hammers gets over, I question and ask myself why I'm not doing it. And I don't know, it was back late summer, early fall, me and Billy just got to talking. And at the time, we were going to put his four-seater through it. And I'm sure glad we didn't follow that plan. But yeah, just between the two of us, we decided to try and put something together and make it happen.
Put the four-seater through it. Holy crap. I didn't know that was even an option.
Well, that was the first option just because I already owned the car. So I'm like, okay, well, that saved us from purchasing a vehicle. So, like, there's a huge financial upstroke, you know what I mean, already right there. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And Brandon's like, wait, what? I was like, let's do it. And then, you know, as we started talking and talking to people, it's like, I don't think you really want to take a four-seater through there. So, and then that's when we kind of, you know, started talking about either a Pro XP or a Turbo R, and we finally landed on the Turbo R of, you know, that's the best solid machine that we could give us the best chance of going through there.
Yeah, I will say I did see a four-seater one night at Chocolate Thunder. Guy rolls up, everybody's laughing at him. Four-seat, I think it was a Pro XP, like full-on, like, you know, limo length. And he shows up and everybody's laughing, and nobody realized he had portals and everything else on this thing. That guy mobbed up Chocolate Thunder quicker than anybody had seen all night. Everybody's like, what the hell just happened? This four-seater just completely mobbed Chocolate Thunder. Everybody else is having problems. He's just sitting up at the top like, yeah. It was pretty interesting.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to knock the four-seaters out there, because the one time I do and laughed, the guy proved me wrong.
Right. Well, and I also think, the four-seat platforms definitely have their advantages, like in the desert section and some of the rock course. Other times, that car is going to be dang near impossible to get through some of the obstacles because they're so tight. And by the time you just cross over one obstacle and you need to turn, a four-seater is just physically too long. So there's going to be lots of backing and forward to try to navigate through some of those canyons.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, like, you know, the four-seater, you start looking at, you know, some of the Polaris, and God, we know the Can-Am four-seaters, they're longer than an Ultra 4 car, you know? So it's like, you think you need I feel like there's this happy medium between a two-seat and a four-seat that would probably be ideal for KOH. And I think that's, you look at the Ultra 4 cars, they're kind of that right wheelbase, you know?
Yes, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, 12 inches longer on a Turbo R, and that would probably be your money vehicle right there, because it still has a tighter turning radius, but you're also getting that longer wheelbase to kind of straddle you from one rock to another.
All right. So let's talk about the lead up. Cause I got out there, you know, Thursday before the desert race, this camp right next to you guys. I kind of go into my nightly check-in with a camp. Seemed like every single night you guys were, you guys had something different going on, man. Like, I feel like your guys' King of the Hammers was a reality show. We just didn't film it.
I'll let Brandon start this one, and then I'll meet up with how I saw it go down.
Well, the funny part is you know, this wasn't our first rodeo of building a car. You know, we had all the right recipes, all the right parts, all the best of the parts. And, you know, I've done this 100 times, putting a car together, and it may not be for a race, but for a show or a dune trip or this or that. You know, we've done it all a lot and, you know, used all the parts we know and trust. And for whatever reason, man, we just had some bad luck straight up. I mean, I think it was just a combination of a lot of aftermarket parts. And although we used all these parts a lot, this was on a new platform that really hadn't been tested as much. And, you know, that was probably one of my biggest takeaways and learning experiences is just not putting the time in the car before the race. And, you know, from all my previous experience, you plug all these right parts in the car, you're ready to go, you know, and you don't even have to question it. And this time it kind of bit us, I guess, is the best way to sum it up.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Brandon. I would honestly say if anybody that listens to the show, if you're out and you decide that you want to take on King of the Hammers, rule number one is don't bring an untested vehicle. If you test the vehicle, bring it the way it is and run it the way it is. Do not make changes at the last minute. That is, you know, I mean, and it doesn't matter if, you know, like Brandon said, you can have the best of the best parts, but there's just sometimes some things you put, you know, one thing and another thing together, and it's very minuscule tolerances or whatever the case may be. It can lead to disaster. And it's one of those things where, you know, we struggled for 6 days on that car. Just every single day we'd go out and test it and find another small issue or the same issue over and over again. And we made changes to try to remedy that issue. And it literally just kept, you know, rearing its ugly face at us. And it was tough, but I think, you know, I mean, it was one of those things. Yes, we had, in all seriousness, we had tons of support. We had Polaris engineers over there. We had Ricky from RCB. Like, we had so many people come over and support us that we couldn't even be mad about the situation because there was so many people in our corner backing us and supporting us that it was really an awesome feeling, you know, just to know that we had that much support out there. So that was a huge, huge thank you to everybody that came by and pitched in a hand, including Jim coming over and, you know, talking some crap to us, letting us know that we're alive. And this is a good thing.
I'd go over there every night and I'm like, man, I'm like, what'd you do with my boys? Like Twitchell and Slade, they're gone. These are like guys, they look the same, but minds were just completely elsewhere. And I mean that in the best possible way, cause I get racing. But it was funny you mentioned, like, you know, you can build a car and things like that. It's funny, though, like, when you build a race car, like, both of you built some high-end play cars and been around racing and things like that. But it's like when you build a race car, everybody laughs. As soon as you stick numbers on it, things start going wrong. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of truth to that because it's like I've had some high-end race cars, and no matter how hard I push them, it's like – you know what I mean? A race car, you just push it a little bit farther. I drive my race car just a little bit harder than I would, you know, play car. And you're doing it for sustained periods of time. Play car, we may go out, run it real hard for 5, 6, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then you're done and you go and you have a beer, whatever. Like a race car, you're doing that for 6, 8, 10 hours, you know, and it's just there's something a little bit different about building a race car. And it seems like things just start going wrong, you know, when you add numbers to it, but it's because you're just driving it a little bit different than you normally would.
Right. Yeah. And I would agree. And even just, you know, I built, you know, several play cars and awesome builds, and then going into building a race car, you know, looking at all the rules and making sure that you are, you know, I mean, within the rule books and within tech and all the safety equipment was, that honestly, when we started building this, I was like, oh, we'll put a fire extinguisher, a couple of fire extinguishers, some window nets, and, you know, a horn or something. But it's so much more than that. It's down to, you know, like the siren system have to be on the, you know, the front of the vehicle and the window nets and the amount of fire extinguisher per pound that you have to have. and crossbars and all of these things that, like, literally we were going. And at the last minute, we had to actually have Doug from TMW build us a new roof because that was not something I even thought about. And our roof thickness wasn't enough. So Doug from TMW actually made us in one day, made us a new roof. And one of the guys from Daystar picked it up and brought it out to us. So we were physically putting the wrap on the roof and drilling the holes in the roof to mount it on the car, like, I don't know, 30 hours before the race. I mean, that was, it was, you know, it was one of those things. It was, it wasn't just one thing that, you know, that we had to learn. It was hundreds of things that we learned in a very short amount of time, which I'm grateful for. I mean, I have a way better understanding of, you know, building a vehicle and what it's going to take to possibly, you know, win King of the Hammers in the years to come.
Well, I think the crazy thing about hammers too is, like, a desert race, unless, you know, something bad goes wrong, desert race, you build this beautiful new car, you take it out, you race it, you know, you clean it off, and it looks the same. There's something about hammers where you build a beautiful new car, like you guys did, it never looks the same after hammers. It's like everybody says, you build it like hammers, you build a car for one race. So you guys are laughing, but take me through race day with you guys, because I was there when you took off the start line, got some pictures, I stand there with Kristen. And then I didn't, you know, I went out, you know what I mean, out on course, things like that. But, you know, take us through race day, because I know the original plan was, Billy, you were going to do the desert, Twitch was going to co-drive with you. Then you get to the rocks for lap number two, Twitch was going to take over. Billy, you were going to co-drive. Take us through race day, man.
Brandon, you want to start?
No, go ahead. You started first lap, so let's hear your end.
Okay, so, yeah, we took off. You know, we got, I think we were 50-something in the lineup. We had three-wheel drive qualifying, which set us back, and which wasn't, I mean, even for three-wheel drive going up Chocolate Thunder, we did, Brandon, he killed it at qualifying. It was amazing. I mean, you know, I mean, I was just in his ear the whole time, like, go, 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 you know, just basically being probably the angel on his left shoulder and the devil on his right shoulder all at the same time from one voice. So qualified, you know, 50th, somewhere right around there. Took off from the start line. Everything was going great. We just kind of made our way through the desert. I would say the only thing that I guess I wasn't quite ready for was the stagnant dust and how thick it was, because there was no wind there. That dust would literally pick up and it would be so thick, and there's no car in front of you, but it's so thick you can only see 20 feet, and we're doing, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour, even through the thick stuff. And I'm slowing down. Brandon's like, you got to speed up. I'm like, I can't see. He's like, I know, I can't see either, but just keep going straight. So, making our way through that, we did come up on the remote pit quicker than we thought, which neither one of us, it both took us by surprise. So we had to basically circle back around to go to our pit, made our way out of that remote pit and back towards Hammertown. And we're climbing up the hill right before Turkey Claw. So I guess if you go up Turkey Claw, one of the back ways out of it is the way we went up it. We heard a really loud zing, and me and Brandon were both like, Brandon's like, that's got to be the diff or the transmission. Something just broke. And I'm driving the car and it's pulling up the hill. And that hill that you have to climb is like a real rocky shale, kind of dusty dirt, and it's single track. And there's nowhere to pull off. Like if you get stuck, you back all the way back down. So I just kept my foot in it, made it to the top. We kind of climbed down Turkey Claw. When we were coming back out of Turkey Claw, kind of by back door, we came up that like little berm right there and blew a belt. So I think at that point we weren't focusing on the belt temp gauge anymore. We were like, we're so close and we already went through the desert. So I think both of us just were not physically paying attention to the belt temp gauge. Got the belt changed, get back in the vehicle. And then we have no electronics on the front. The vehicle is running fine. But we have nothing on the Switch Pro. So we have no pumper, we have no radios, and I wired the whole car. So in my mind, I'm driving and I know we don't have anything. Now me and Brandon can't speak back and forth, and me wiring the car, I'm instantly thinking about like, what could it be? Okay. The car's running fine. So I know that the main harness is fine, but what stops power coming forward? And I know that there's one main line coming forward, and, you know, so I'm just processing, trying to think of like, okay, when we get to the pits, I need to have a game plan of how we can physically try to, isolate the issue and fix the problem. So get back to the main pit, and Pete from Pro Armor puts his hand kind of on the winch, and he looks down kind of at the suspension, and he goes, "Ow, that thing's caught." And I'm like, "Ah, that was the zinging sound." So somehow the winch engaged itself, sucked itself all the way tight, which melted the synthetic rope to itself and blew the 200 amp fuse that goes all the way back to the battery, which technically runs the Switch Pros too. So we changed the tire. We had a sidewall cut. It wasn't flat by any means, but it potentially could have been a problem. So pit crew fueled us, changed the wheel and tire, and we threw a lug nut in place in lieu of the fuse and put it back on, disconnected the winch. So at that point, we're going forward into the rocks with no winch, which I honestly would have never guessed, like, okay, you need a spare winch. Yeah. So, and then we got back in the car and we had power, we had comms, everything was working. And then Brandon took over. So yeah, Brandon, so you want to start from here?
Yeah. So from there, it was obviously a little nerve wracking trying to figure the car out and everything else. And I can't say enough to the pit crew and all the help and recommendations everybody had there. Even other teams were trying to help us figure it out. And, you know, super, super cool to experience that. I've been on the other side of it so many times, but to actually be in the car and experience that was something very cool. We get back in the car, and honestly, my nerves were gone. I felt really good. Jump in, and we'd been fighting the ruts a little bit, you know, and I keep telling Billy, I'm like, just stay in the ruts. And, you know, I think we didn't get the car, the alignment just right. And so as I got in the car, that was the first thing I noticed. And Billy's like, yeah, I told you it's a lot harder than it looks, you know, to try and stay in the ruts. So, you know, took me a minute to get used to the car. And that was the biggest thing I would say right out of the gate for me is, I literally had the only time seat time I've driven that physical car was really in qualifying. Oh, we did do a couple passes in the whoops, but that was when we were testing. That didn't really count, but it was really qualifying. And then the second I got in at the second lap, we were fortunate enough to have Polaris lend us another Turbo R for pre-running, which, you know, we spent a few weekends out at Hammers prior to the race, really learning the terrain and learning the car itself. And I didn't realize how big of a difference there was going to be from our pre-runner to the race car, just between different shock setup and really the amount of overhead weight. You know, when, right out of the gate, we really questioned if we were going to run a spare tire or not. And unfortunately, we kind of decided, you know, a week or two before the race that we really probably should do it. And so we fortunately were able to get a bolt-on spare tire gauge on there, and I've really never ran a car with a spare tire, so that factored in a lot on the handling of the vehicle and just something I really hadn't ever gotten used to personally. And so that's kind of a little backstory. So we get in the car, everything's feeling good, we're pushing a pretty decent pace in my opinion. You know, I felt fairly confident going into the section we were going into. We, you know, made a few passes here and there, and things were cruising along. We dropped down into the first section of rocks, and right out of the gate, what I really noticed, and I'm putting a plug in for HCR, even though I work here, but the pre-runner, you know, we ran stock arms, and I will tell you, those stock arms are so strong. I mean, we beat the crap out of them, and they hardly even dented. They're just got big gouges through them. But going into the rocks with our race car with HCR, we had almost 3 inches more of clearance. So immediately I just felt this confidence to push it a little harder through the rocks and, you know, not just consistently bashing the arms in the front of the car. So we're cruising along and come into traffic. Now, there was a bunch of people broken. I don't remember how many people we passed that were broken in the first of the canyon. But we come into a section where there was 2 or 3 cars blocking the main trail. So we go to go around it. Well, let me back up. There was a bypass that went above the canyon wall. And a few days prior to, there was in driver's meeting, there was a very intense situation where, you know, it was no questions asked. You stay in the, you stay in the rocks. You don't take the bypasses. That's just plain and simple. And the way it was stated, if any, you see anybody taking the bypass, you know, it's up to the drivers to red card that driver and, you know, so on. So in our minds, like, no, we can't do it. Even though we don't have a winch, we need to stay in the rocks. So we stay in the rocks and I get down to these couple cars that are broken and take a alternate route. And it was nothing serious. Like I wasn't even hardly slowing down because what we were going through was no big deal. We'd done it 100 times and didn't even think twice about it. And I don't know if I was distracted by the car down below us or not, or what was going on. Long story short, I pulled up on a rock, driver front tire. And before I know it, the car starts tipping. I immediately try and, you know, I get on the brakes, try and grab reverse to drive out of it. And at that point it was too late. So we did one full roll, landed on my side. As we're rolling, I'm telling Billy, I'm like, please land on his tires, please land on his tires. Cause it was so slow motion, wasn't a big deal at all. And unfortunately we landed on the side, and the way we landed, the car was kind of upside down, and it was a very difficult situation to get the car uprighted. So we get out of the vehicle, everything was fine. You know, nothing was broken at that point, not even our antennas or buggy whip, nothing was broken. So we start working on getting it uprighted, and we basically had to stack a bunch of rocks and get the screw jack up and then stack more rocks until the screw jack was bottomed out. And at that point, there still was no physical way he and I can push the car over, still again, no winch. So we finally talked to some of the drivers down below to come and help us finish pushing the car over. So we get 2 more people. They help us push it over. And because of the hill that it landed on was so off camber, as soon as it landed on its wheels, the car did another full roll. And now it was really in a bad spot. Billy, I'll let you take the next couple rolls because it's a fun story.
So after that, I think both me and Brandon and then the brother and sister team that were in the Kawasaki that helped us push it over, we're all standing there in disbelief. Like, that did not just happen. Like, I mean, it was definitely off camber. I didn't expect it. I was in shock when it literally, I have the GoPro video. It stuck the landing for about a half a second and did not move. And then it was almost like some force came and just kept pushing it. And then, like Brandon said, then it was kind of like wedged between a giant rock and a small rock, and it was kind of crooked. And me and Brandon kind of like, we're like, oh, okay, so that just happened. So now what do we do? So we extract a plan of pulling every single rope and cord that we have out of the vehicle. And half of our stuff is right where it rolled the first time. And now we're pulling more stuff out. So now there's more stuff down where it's at. We get a bunch of ropes together, and we just waited for the next car to come by. Cause at that point, the 2 vehicles that were in front of us, they both had broken steering racks. One was that brother and sister team. Another one, the other guys broke all the studs off their wheels, and they were trying to cross throw them back on to get it out of the canyon. So nobody was of any help. So we literally just pulled a bunch of winch line and ropes to basically the only spot a car could go by. And we're just going to basically hope that the next car that drove by, we could ask, hey, can we hook onto you real quick? Car kind of made its way down the canyon. We said, hey, can we hook this to your rear bumper real quick? Just give it a pull and it'll come right back onto its wheels. And the guy was like, yeah, no problem. So he starts to pull real, real slow. The car starts to come up. Well, then he kind of stops and we're like, go, go, go. And then he just kind of like floored it and it snapped the line, the pull line that we had on like the B pillar of the cage. It snaps the line and the car goes rolling again. Like it just keeps going further and further into a bad position. And I'm like, it can't get any worse. And then it gets worse. So at that point, we just told the guy, we're like, well, you know, thank you. We appreciate it. We unhooked the line from him. He took off. And then we sat there and scratched our heads for, I don't know, probably another 20 minutes trying to figure out how we could possibly get it up. Well, then some guys from up in Northern California that were racing came by and they had a broken A-arm or something, a ball joint snapped or something on their front end, and they were up on the bypass. So we devised a plan to put even more ropes together and tie knots and do what we could. And I'd say probably, I don't know, two or three tries, and 40 minutes later, we finally got it onto its lid. But at that point, the car was, I mean, it was pretty bad. And the first rollover, like Brandon said, there was a few scratches. I mean, the roof was not caved in. Even the rugged radio antenna did not break after that first and even second roll. But the third roll did the car in, because when it landed on the passenger side, which caved like the door hinge kind of in. And then as it was rolling, the front driver, like right where the headlight smashed that in and bent the radiator and the intercooler to a point where the radiator is pretty pinched off on that left line, which I think is the return line back to the engine. So at that point, we got it onto its lid or onto its wheels, let it sit for a little bit. Greg from TPR gave us this really cool contraption, because we had so much stuff in the bed that you actually put a funnel hose system that screws onto a quart of oil. And we put a quart of oil in it, waited for a little bit. And then just at that point, you know, we had been there for, I think, about 3 hours, and three rollovers later, finally getting the car back up. And at that point, it was in no shape to continue on the race, especially with no winch. So that was,
there's oil. Yeah. There's oil everywhere in the roof, down the side. I mean, it lost a lot of oil from sitting upside down for so long.
Yeah. So I drove back with the fire extinguisher in my lap with the safety pin pulled out, aiming backwards. Yeah. And at that point, I think it was one of those things, like, neither one of us wanted to say, you know, like, we have to call it. But at that point, it was like, there's just physically no, you know, there's just no way for us to continue on with, you know, a smashed radiator and oil all over in the car and, you know, just what had transpired. It was just one of those things where we just decided, hey, let's take it on the chin this year and come back next year.
Well, now, you know, honestly, you guys had such a beautiful car and now it's dinged up. You're not, I feel like now next year you're like, oh, full send. We don't care if we scratch the car up. It's already gone.
Oh, you haven't met Billy, have you?
Yeah.
Hey, no. The car's gonna look. Hey, give me one more month, and that car's gonna look brand new again. I promise you that.
to Twitchell's credit, I ran into Pete after the first lap, and when you guys were heading out on lap number two, and I asked Pete. I said, "What's up with the boys?" And he goes, "Oh, they're heading out onto the second lap." He goes, "But they don't have a winch." And I looked at Pete and I go, "There's one guy that can make it through Hammers without a winch. It's Twitchell." And Pete goes, "Absolutely." So to Twitchell's credit, Pete and I had it back. You didn't need a winch. Oh.
Well, and then look what I did. I rolled it on the stupidest rock I could have. It's funny the things that, you know, you don't think about. And, well, it really comes down to seat time in the vehicle. You know, in my mind, that's where I screwed up the most. It wasn't hitting this rock wrong or anything else. It was not being familiar with that car, you know, and we pre-ran without a front sway bar, and, you know, that alone can change the characteristics of things. And then you add another couple hundred pounds over your head and, you know, it'll bite you before you even know it. And that's what happened.
So I know.
Yeah. And I would agree. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
No, go for it, Billy.
Oh, I would agree that, you know, I think the most appealing thing about King of the Hammers, both for myself and Brandon, is that is one of those races where it's not just like, oh, that one rock canyon can get you. It literally, that race can bite you in a million different ways and in a million different scenarios, and that your mind can't even fathom. I mean, there's guys that have lost it, and, you know, most guys lose it in the desert. We made it through the desert and we get to the rocks, and, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. And I think that's what's so appealing about that race, is it's just, you know, it takes a damn near perfect day and a lot of luck on your side to finish, let alone, you know, be on the podium of that race. And I think that's why that race is so prestigious and so highly sought after.
Well, and I think, you know, anybody you talk to, they say, you know, in regards to Hammers, it's not something where year one you go in and you win. You need to at least go 1 year and just figure it out. Try your best to get to the finish line, but see it, because, you know, everybody on the outside looking in goes, oh, I can do that. Until you're actually there and running Hammers, I don't think anybody realizes how tough and how grueling that race actually is and what it takes to get to the finish line.
Yes, yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, going 80 miles in the desert, being hard on a vehicle, and then you're going to put it through some of the toughest rock canyons in the, you know, on the West Coast is, is a feat for any of these vehicles and driver.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know I talked to Billy before the race, and I said, so what's up after this? And Slade goes, oh, I want to go to the Mitt. Talked to Billy a couple days ago. Billy's like, oh, hell with the Mitt. We're not going anywhere. So I was like, your tune changed pretty quick, Billy.
I think it was the biggest part was I physically can't put that car back together that fast. So, I mean, if I had another vehicle I could scavenge parts from other vehicles at my house, but I don't want to have three vehicles torn apart here to put one vehicle back together. So this was, this was a learning, King and Hammers was a learning experience. That was an expensive learning experience, but nonetheless, I think it's a priceless learning experience. It was one of those things like, now I understand. Like, I thought I understood before, but I really didn't have a clue. And I did as much research as I could. And me and Brandon, we had weekly meetings with our team, just trying to go over everything. But until you put yourself physically, like you were just saying, Jim, in that scenario of in that race, there's no way you'll ever understand and be fully ready. And I mean, there's guys out there that have been racing it 10 years that have never finished and they put, a year's worth of work into it. Some of the 4,400 guys every single year they put, that's their one big race and they do it and they still haven't finished. So I'm definitely not giving up, and I'll definitely be at the Mint next year for sure.
Well, I think, and this is going to sound too cliche, but you learn more from the races that go wrong than you do the races that go right. If it all goes right, it's all smooth sailing. End of the day, it's like, great, we did well. The ones that go wrong, man, you sure learn a hell of a lot out of them,
Yes.
Well, and that's totally, very well totally said, agree. Jim, because like Billy said too, we actually put in a lot of effort to be ready for this race, for being first time King of the Hammers racers. We did. I feel like we had a very good chance of for sure finishing and maybe even in the top 10. It was the little things that you would only learn by putting yourself in that situation that is the parts we missed. And, I feel like we were 90% there. It was just that last 10% that we couldn't have experienced other than putting ourselves in the situation.
Yeah. Well, I
would fully agree with that.
Yeah. And I don't want to say outsider looking in because we're all family at this point, but I know the way you guys approached this event, and I know seeing, how dedicated you were there at the lake bed, and I know talking with Billy beforehand and Twitchell and things like that, you guys took this serious. It wasn't one of those, oh, this is a marketing thing, this is going to be fun. You guys went there to do well, and you ran it very professionally. It wasn't like, oh, I think we're going to go to Hammers, and you just show up and race, You guys put the time in and put the effort in, and I think, all the effort you put in this year, I think if you decide to come back next year, it's all going to come back to you tenfold because – of what you did, and you laid the groundwork for a program for next year,
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree. And that was even with one of those things, like with pit crews and what the pit crews need and how you execute, what they do and how you delegate, those were all learning curves. And, there's probably some veteran racers that listen to this. And there's also going to be some people that don't have any racing experience and want to learn. Me and Brandon definitely leaned on as many people as we could and asked a lot of questions. I'm sure there's probably at least 30 people out there right now going, I'm glad this is over because now these guys will quit calling me and asking me questions. But nonetheless, it's one of those things where, it's something. I mean, the feeling that you get from doing something like this and going about it cannot be expressed. So I just want to say to anybody out there that listens to this, if you want King of the Hammers, go after King of the Hammers. And, there's probably going to be somebody out there that goes after it and podiums in their first year, and then there's going to be others that don't. And, that's okay. As long as you learn every year that you go out there and, you're not making the same mistakes over and over again every single year, then you're doing something right.
I think it's just moving the needle farther forward every single time you go, it's taken, there's some amazing guys, especially in the UTV division, that have never come up with a win, it's just, I mean, we can go across the board. Phil Blurton, I know he didn't win the overall. He got, you know, first in class. But Brandon Sims, how close has Sims been before? And he hasn't done it, you know. And it's just one of those you got to keep pushing every year, try and get closer, you know. And it's just, man, there's so many things that have to fall into place to win King of the Hammers. That's what's crazy about the event. Like you said, like any given desert race is one thing, but, you know, where you've got a desert race and a rock race, you know, and you've got to go do the desert race, turn around and race the car on the rocks. I mean, there's so many things that have to fall into place. And I think that's what makes KOH special.
Yes. Yep. I totally agree. So we're definitely going after 2024.
I will say the pace of the leaders this year was just absolutely bonkers, though. As a guy that's been going out not nearly as long as Twitchell, but been following the UTV race at Hammers for quite a while, like, that used to be an all-day race, and now to think they're finishing in, what, under 4 hours? I'm like, this is absolutely madness.
Yeah, well, even Dave Cole said that he wasn't expecting a UTV across the finish line in under 6 hours this year. So, you know, when he said that, me and Brandon were like, okay, you know, like, this is going to be, you know, like a race at your own pace race. It's going to be one of those things, like, you know, we've heard it so many times, like, you know, you lose in the desert and you win in the rocks. And, but, you know, I mean, there's always going to be something. But yeah, to see the, you know, when we got back and we hear finishers came in across the line in 3 hours and 30 minutes, I think it was three hours, 35, something like that. I was like, oh my gosh, we were literally trying to get the car over just back onto its feet for 3 hours. And they did the entire race course in that. it's pretty wild.
It is. The pace has just become nuts, man. Well, now you're seeing the UTVs racing the Ultra Fours in the big race and doing okay, and it's just like, I don't know, man. UTVs, Twitchell's an OG UTV guy. You've seen UTVs come so far. To me, what we're doing in UTVs now is just crazy compared to a decade ago, Twitchell. I mean, you know, just, I don't know, just on the HCR front, I look at an arm that HCR is building today versus what you guys were building back in the day. Yeah, they kind of look similar with the boxing and stuff like that. But, I mean, this is full-on trophy truck caliber parts we're putting on side-by-sides, man.
Yeah, it's pretty wild how much things have evolved. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because that's what really stood out after this was all said and done. And, you know, the investment, the time, and everything else. And what I would, you know, encourage to other people wanting to try it is, you could have the same experience going in, you know, and there are things like Billy said with extinguishers, window nets, you know, all the safety gear, radios, navigation, but you could really get away with a very mild, you know, let's just take an XP1000 or a Honda Talon. You know, there's a lot of vehicles out there. And I look at, we went pre-running one of the times with one of my buddies that has raced Hammers a couple times, and he was in his old race car. And after being done, you know, getting through this race, I looked at it and like, you know what? We didn't have to have the best of the best of the best to go out and do this. You just have to have something that, you know, will stay together and that is proven and that is maintained properly. And, you know, I think that it's something that is very hard for a lot of people to see, especially not having ever done it, is it doesn't always take the most money and the most support and everything else. It's just having a vehicle that you can put your hands on and know the ins and outs of it, and especially the feeling in the seat. You know, I think those things go so far that there's a lot of people out there that could really go out and do well if they just tried it.
Just what we're seeing out of the box with some of these side-by-side things like that, like I think everybody sees, and you guys had a beautiful car, you know, but I think everybody thinks, oh, I got to have this, you know, upper five-figure build. You know, it's going to cost me $80,000 to build a car and go to Hammers. I'm like, no, not really. I mean, like you'd said, you can take like a stock KRX or, you know, something else out of the box that works well in the rocks, do some safety upgrades and add a little bit here and a little bit there and have something that can go and run those rock trails and probably get you the finish line and do pretty solid.
Yeah, absolutely. A bone stock KRX would 100% do Hammers. You know, just take it slow and cruise, and you could totally do it. And even same with our pre-runner. It was a base model Turbo R. You know, it held up for, you know, what, we were out there a total of like 6-7 days of pre-running, stop every day, and we put that thing through the ringer, man. And I think we only broke one rear axle in all of the pre-running. That's through all the rock trails, wow, you know, and everything else. And it was funny, the first time we went out, we came straight from Glamis after the scramble, actually. And car was brand new, had, I have very little experience in big bouldering, rock crawling like that. You know, I've rock crawled my whole life, but it's always been more on sandstone and Moab and sand hollow type stuff. We get out there the first round and we go straight to Chocolate Thunder. And in my mind, in years past, Chocolate Thunder was the easy trail. That's the one you start out on. Well, this year that was not the case. And that poor car, we about ripped the door off. We about ripped both rocker panels off. And, you know, it can also teach you a lot really, really fast in the parts that you do need to upgrade and how important skid plates are and so on. But man, what a fun learning experience all the way around. It's just, you can't put into words what you can learn just by doing it yourself.
So, I guess before we let you guys go, what's next? I know obviously the mint's off, but, Slade, I mean, you got a race car now. What's the next plans for that? You're going to go have a little fun this year and then obviously see you guys back at Hammers next year.
Yeah. And I've actually been talking to Riley at ZRP and, they invited me up to an Ultra 4 race in Montana in like, I think 9 or 10 weeks. And then I want to try to do Crandon, and hopefully Brandon will come out with me to Crandon, because I know Brandon's been wanting to go to Crandon, and what better way than to take our race car out there. So,
oh, you guys got to come to Crandon. I've been going for about 6-7 years now, and that's, if you've been to KOH and you haven't been to Crandon, I feel like there's three or four marquee events. If you're an off-road guy, you got to go to, and Labor Day Crandon's definitely one of them.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. And once I get the car back together and get it all, you know, up and running, then I'll look at a schedule and put something out there, but I don't want to get ahead of myself or rush myself back myself into a corner where I'm like, oh, I said I was going to do this and I have to. So I want to make sure that the Razor's, you know, 100% ready to go and, you know, kind of tackle it from there. I was really bummed that pretty much not one panel on that car is salvageable. So actually I lie. I think the driver left, the driver rear fender flare somehow came out of that unscratched, which I still don't understand how that one panel, like I pulled the wrap off of it and there's not a single scratch on it. So that is the one panel that was, salvageable out of that debacle that we got ourselves into.
You're gonna end up like me, and you're gonna start in your shop, your race shop. You're just gonna start hanging all the damaged panels and stuff up, and it makes for really cool wall art. So your first step that way, Billy, just start pulling panels and hanging them in the shop.
Yeah, well, and I actually have a panel for Brandon that has like a little I signed it and gave him a little slogan that I still need to get to him, and that was from a previous pre-run that we did in San Hollow. So I'm hoping that one day, you know, once he gets that, he'll actually hang that one on his wall, because that was that was a fun day too.
Oh man. Oh,
that car is cursed with me. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Brandon and that car just they butt heads real hard. And I actually do want to say that I have a lucky pair of shoes that I was like, I should wear my lucky pair of shoes on race day. And I didn't wear them only because I didn't want to get like flagged from tech. Like, do you know, Jim, like, do people like, can you just put like a pair of sneakers on in KOH?
Yeah.
Like, is somebody going to say anything?
Everybody does that in the desert. I mean, this is, yeah, I think most of the guys shoot. I know a lot of guys, co-driver stuff. They wear boots at KOH in the cars and things like that, just because they know they're going to get out and be in the rocks and things like that. Yeah, you don't want to wear those those ballerina shoes from Sparco or anything like that out in the rocks. So.
Right. Yep. Well, I got a lucky pair of Vans that in my next race I will be wearing. So hopefully, cross my fingers that those are the same shoes I was wearing at the Red Bull Sand Scramble. So, and they brought me some pretty good luck. So I'm gonna go ahead and rock those.
All right. I'm looking forward to seeing this, but. I don't know. I know Slade told me he's going to see me at the Mint. You're not coming to the Mint, Twitchell? I got somehow I'm involved in a sponsor this party at Hogs and Heifers on Wednesday night. So if you find your way to Vegas, I think you could drink for free for the night. So just putting it out there, buddy.
Nice. We'll see.
And you got a free place to sleep too.
Yeah.
The dust is still settling around here, but if I can sneak down there for a couple nights, it'd be good to see you guys for sure.
Awesome, buddy. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to come on the show, man. Stoked to hear about the adventures you guys had out there at KOH, and looking forward to seeing you guys again soon.
Wait, before we go.
What you got, Slade?
You haven't asked Brandon what his plans are. Brandon, do you plan on racing King of the Hammers next year?
Oh, man, it's a loaded question. But honestly, I know I can do it. And we both learned is it's very hard to build a car 1,000 miles apart. You know, we both tried to take a role in it. And I think we also learned that that is not a very – if we want to go – we both know we can do well. And if we want to achieve what we both are set out to do, we both need to be in our own car. And I think we've both kind of established that after all of this. You know, it's such a fun, great learning experience together, but we also very competitive at the same time. So I think if we do end up doing it again, we'll be battling against each other. And I've already got a lot of people that reach out to me and want to help support me to do it again. And so there's a very good chance that I'll be back for sure.
So what you're saying is BB Racing still lives. We just might be a team working together, but against each other.
It's a two-car team now.
The way we've always done it, right?
Well, I am looking forward to...
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, I am looking forward to Rally on the Rocks this year, or Side-by-Side Adventure Rally, where we're all on the same team and we can all hang out and drink together after we get done on the rocks. So that's what I'm looking forward to in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Or a couple months.
Yeah, and somebody better bring a pinata.
Oh, pinata is definitely 1,000% happening. Pinata is definitely a go. Awesome, guys.
Yeah, looking forward to it for sure.
All right. Well, we are signing off from this interview here on the Gentle Tire Jim Beaver Show.
When it's time to replace the tires on your vehicle, Gentle Tire delivers the tires you need for both your next big adventure and your daily commute. Whether you need all-season traction, lasting tread wear, or a quiet drive, Gentle Tires are designed to deliver whatever life brings your way. From all-season ultra-high-performance tires for passenger cars and crossovers to extreme all-season mud terrain and tires for light trucks and SUVs, Gentle Tire delivers great performance. To find your ideal tire, visit GentleTire.com. Gentle Tire, official tire of the Jim Beaver Show.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Social media? Yeah, that's on lock. It's at JimBeaver15 on all major platforms, and hit up at General Tire and at Kawasaki USA while you're there.
Welcome back to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki. And what an awesome show today with my good friends Billy Slade and Brandon Twitchell. Big thanks to them for taking the time to come on the show. Tell us a little bit about their misadventure out there at Johnson Valley at the 2023 King of the Hammers. Like I said, lots of fun stuff coming up. Couple of big shows in the hopper coming up in the next couple of weeks. We still got episode 500 looming out there a little bit. I guess today's audio quality wasn't exactly perfect, so my apologies. We'll get it dialed in for next week. But as you know, we've had some technical difficulties today for some odd reason. So we'll definitely get that squared away, though. And, yeah, man, Mint 400, don't forget Wednesday night, Fremont Street, JB15, throwing a party at Hogs and Heifers, kickoff party. You want to be there. Don't miss out. DM me if you're coming to the party, and maybe we'll get you set up with a wristband so you at least get a drink or two for free on the house, courtesy of JB15 and the Jim Beaver Show. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up. I'll be at the off-road swap meet this weekend. Swing by, especially if you want to buy some tires, wheels, UTV parts. I got you on lock in regards to that. Don't forget to check us out on Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. I say that every week. I mean it. It helps us a lot. So, yes, please keep us remembered when you're listening to the show over there on Apple Podcasts. You know, once again, it's at JimBeaver15 on all your social media channels. And, you know, we've been cranking on YouTube as well. We're going to start integrating a lot of video content, so make sure and check us out over there. Big shout-out to all of our amazing partners in the show, General Tire, Kawasaki USA. Big shout-out to Vision Wheel, Gibson Exhaust, Dirtfish Rally School, our boys at Clean Freak, Rigid Industries, big-time supporter of the show. Our friends at HCR Racing, man, you kill it on all my UTV builds, and trust me, I got an amazing build coming up. Yeah, Rugged Radios, just everybody that continues to support us. Thank you. Thanks to all our guests, Slade, Twitchell, everybody behind the scenes. Man, been a fun ride. Episode number 500. We're about a month out from that. Trust me, you are going to want to listen when that thing drops. But, yeah, other than that, I think I've rambled enough. And I'm going to sign off for this week on the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki. Have a great week, an even better weekend, and we will see you next time. And that's a wrap for this edition of the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki. Thanks for listening. Be sure and head to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the show, and follow at JimBeaver15, at General Tire, and at Kawasaki USA on social media. Itching for more? JimBeaver15.com has all the latest. We'll see you next time.